Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today as we continue in on our Make a Change. We're going to be in Acts chapter 11 when we get there. A couple things I want to make you aware of. And so he's unable to be here this morning, but we had a baptism on, was that Tuesday night? Landon Zwick. So we had announced that Wednesday. He'll be here this evening. So you can make sure you give him all your hugs and things then as well. But so continue to pray for him. And then also just more of like a public service announcement type thing. So the stabbing of myself yesterday, that was a self-inflicted wound. I know many of you probably thought Tam was trying, you know. But it was a self-inflicted wound. And then because I had made the comment a few weeks ago on a sermon I was preaching on a kid that I used to ride the school bus with, said he got stabbeth on the Sabbath, you know. And so when that happened to me, Coop looks at me and goes, well, you did get stabbeth on the Sabbath. And I was like, I did. But anyway, Tam had nothing to do with that. There was no evil intentions there. I'm not saying she hasn't thought about it, just that she was not involved with that yesterday. Yeah, that's what they say. It was because I was cutting up my Braunschweiger meat, and I like Braunschweiger, and apparently nobody else around the campfire did. But anyway, just wanted to share those two things, the most important being Landon's Wick. All right, so Acts chapter 11, we've been going through Bible here, just kind of looking, especially in the early church, changes that were needing to take place. One of the things I will say, so when I started this message, I had a whole idea down on what I wanted to do, but as I read the Bible, I had to change my thinking because it didn't necessarily line up with what I wanted to preach, so I had to make a change. That's a thought for us all, that when you're reading the Bible and it doesn't say, it doesn't go jive with what you're doing or what you're saying, we're the ones that need to change, not the Bible. And so as we look at that, it's just a reminder in this whole series that we're doing that there's different things at different times that we might need to make a change on, and this was one of those. And we're going to be reading out of Acts chapter 11. If you got your Bibles and you're following along there, that would be great. If not, it'll be on the board. If not, just listen, and we'll read and share with you. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to the Jews alone. All right, so we've looked at that over the past couple of weeks, the persecution, the spreading of the gospel, and how that needs to be. But it's still, even though we learned last week with Saul that he was going to become a servant to the Gentiles, that still hasn't quite happened yet. Here we do see Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, which we kind of skipped over. But if you want to go back and read Acts chapter 10, a great thought there for making a change is the life of Cornelius as well. But anyway, The ones being scattered here are continuing to only speak to the Jews alone. That was going to be the responsibility of Saul, remember, to preach to the Gentiles. Verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Been seeing that all through the book of Acts. Great numbers, 3,000, 5,000, multitudes of men and women, they were making a change in their life. Verse 22, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. We see that again. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So one of the first things that we teach our kids, whether it's our own kids or maybe grandkids, it's almost inevitable that we start them off. One of their very first toys that they get is a toy where you have to mix and match shapes, right? So when I was little, we used to have this. It was a little blue and red hexagonal thing, maybe even more than that. But and it had the little shapes that you'd put in, and you know that's where you learned that a circle wouldn't fit in a star shape, you know, and you had to put those and you know, I was glad by the time I got graduated from high school, I was able to work that all out. But we see that, and so one of the very first thing, or even little toys, walking things the kids might have little objects to put different shapes to put different places. So we got circles and squares and triangles and rectangles, you know, and we all think to ourselves, you know, and you laughed when I said I was 18 before I figured that out. Why is that? Why'd you laugh? That hurts. No, I'm just saying we laugh because we hope that we have that figured out sooner. We consider that kid stuff. Right? And so that hopefully we get that. So we're thinking easy peasy, right? No problem. So let me ask you, are squares also rectangles? Yes, right? The difference between squares and rectangles are not as clear as you were taught. In fact, every square is also a rectangle. It's got four square corners. Right? So what is the difference? A square is a quadrilateral where all four angles are right angles and all four sides are the same length. But a rectangle is a quadrilateral where all four angles are right angles, but not the same length necessarily. So every square is a rectangle, but not every rectangle is a square. So what I want you to remember and take from this, and this is in the perfect world, because when I just threw this out yesterday, sitting around the fire, some guys started getting into discussions, and I was like, and they're like, yeah, they should be. We're assuming that everybody should be, okay? This is the perfect world. So every Christian is a disciple. Not every disciple is a Christian. And we're going to take a look at that. Now, the first one is making disciples. The first thing we want to look at is making disciples. We'll say this, and this is where I had to change my thinking and understanding, is that as we do read the Bible, much of it through it, especially the New Testament, The Greek word disciple actually started being used like 500 years before the New Testament even came around. And that just simply means a learner or a follower of somebody, an apprentice, something like that. And that's a disciple. So Jesus had those that were disciples that followed him. We have who we know, you know, Peter and Andrew, James and John were disciples, but then they also became apostles, and that's up for a whole nother make a change thing that you can't become an apostle, so that's not to worry about in this message. But anyway, so making a disciple, and as they're talking about 218 times, if you do a search, at least in the New American Standard, you'll find the word disciple in the New Testament. Now, sometimes that may be referencing the disciples of John. It might be referencing the disciples of Christ, disciples of Apollos, Paul, different ones. And so they're apostles and or they're disciples. And so what we're trying to figure out then is what a disciple of what, right? And so as we look at that, it's a reminder to us, because that is a word today that many people like to use. And I tried to stay away from it because of some wrong thinking in my mind. But even, you know, before the book of Acts, after the book of Acts, in the letters that Paul uses, he calls fellow Christians disciples. Because they are disciples of Jesus Christ, wanting to be learners of him and followers of him. And so as we look at that, those facts are true. However, these facts are true as well. You can become an actual disciple of Jesus Christ and never become a Christian. You can be one who studies about Jesus. You can be one who knows all sorts of things about Jesus. You can know all there is of his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. But if you do not take that to its fullest extent, you will be nothing more than a disciple, a learner, and that is, we'll just say right now in this part of the sermon, that's not enough to get the job done. So making disciples, though, but what I don't want to overlook, because I'm sure certain verses, and so I'm going to throw out what I think is probably the most popular one, are things that maybe we don't do when we're trying to get someone to become a Christian. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, this is Jesus himself speaking, so guess what? Right? We say, well, we really need to pay attention. This is red letter stuff. Hey, the whole Bible was purchased with his blood. Okay? But this is Jesus here saying, this is what we call the marching orders of the church. And listen to what it says. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So, would I be wrong to say that we shouldn't make disciples? Yes, I would be wrong. You know why? Because Jesus said we need to make disciples. Amen? What is a disciple? A learner, as we've already looked. So we need to make disciples. But here's it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, then baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I don't believe in settling or stopping at being a disciple is what Christ wanted us to do, or even what he was teaching. He said to make disciples. Now think about this. Make disciples, and then what we know with what happened on the day of Pentecost, and as Peter tells us later, and Paul writes in his epistles, make disciples. So what we've got to do is we've got to teach people so that they are learners. Right? So that they are learners. Not just so that they heard, right? Well, I heard a radio broadcast and I got saved. Well, let me make you a disciple. Let me teach you about Jesus. Let me share with you what he said to do. Then Jesus says, immediately following that, make them. In other words, you need to take time and teach them. And then he says to baptize them. See, this is where Acts 11:26 then comes into this, I believe, because this is the point in which we go from being a disciple, being a learner of Jesus Christ, to being a Christian, is where we're baptized. 1 Peter 3:21. The time of our baptism is the time of our salvation. And that's what 1 Peter 3:21 shares with us there. And so when we ask, right, and many times we meet with denominational friends and we'll talk, and they'll say, yeah, I was saved at a revival last week, or we had a special Sunday where I went forward and I went forward and we had a prayer line and I was saved. That sounds really cool, but it's totally unscriptural, because 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism now saves you. Does faith save you? Faith leads you to salvation. So yes. Does repentance? Yes. Does confession? Yes. But it gets you to all that point so that you are baptized because of your faith in Jesus Christ, your willingness to repent, your confession of Him as Lord and Savior. And so we're to make disciples, and ultimately then in making disciples, you baptize them, and then as we'll finish out, we'll see that I believe we take on a more accurate name. Some will say that it was a derogatory name. Maybe it was. We'll look at that as we go on as well. But the name Christian, I believe, is a praiseworthy name, is an honorable name, and we'll look at that. But as we are making disciples, so this is the point. All squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. Number two, we saw it twice in this little passage. They turn to the Lord. They turn to the Lord. Now, is believing in Jesus Christ necessary to save you? Well, absolutely. Now I'll say this. Is believing in Jesus as the Christ or the Messiah enough to save you? No. No, because even in this context that we read there, and maybe you'll have to go back and find it in this passage, but it says a large number believed and turned to the Lord. So why didn't it stop at believe? Because I know people that believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord that have never turned to Him, or they believe in Jesus Christ and what He's did, but they've never made Him Lord and Savior. So you can believe. How do I know that? You can believe and be lost. How do I know that? Hell will be filled with people that believe in Jesus Christ. Didn't get an amen from that one. Not too many. But it's a very true and accurate statement. How do I know that belief is not enough? James chapter 2, verse 19 says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Golf clap, right? Fine job. But the demons believe. So, if you believe and you stop there, congratulations, you're on the same level as the demons. All of a sudden, that doesn't quite seem enough, does it? Because the demons believe, and as a matter of fact, it even causes them to shudder. I know people that believe in Jesus, but are pretty brash about their relationship with Him. For example, the other night, Tam and I went into the Dollar General, and we were talking and see somebody there that I've known through the years. And I said, you know, a lot of people would be really glad to see you at church again. Oh, yeah. I just want you to know, I'm still a believer. And this verse came to mind. And he said, I'm still a believer, so don't you worry about that. He goes, I'm just too busy, though, to, you know, go to church. So I got thinking about that as well. Do you remember last week when we talked about Saul persecuting the church? And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So is it just possible that if we sit back and say, you know what, I don't have time for church, that we're really saying I don't have time for Jesus? I think it is. I think it is. When we take anything and we put it above Jesus, then we have chosen that to be the number one. And so as we look at that and we see that, is it good enough to just believe? I don't think so. That's why I said heaven will, or hell will be full of people that believed in Jesus. But it's making that turn. Those that turned to Jesus, turned to the Lord. That is called, my friends, repentance. When Matt immersed Landon the other night, of course, one of the points of emphasis is this is for the remission of sins. Because he had realized he needed to repent of his sins and to have those forgiven. Because those were the separating factor. Buried with him in baptism, died, the old man arise to walk in the newness of life. They believed, but we've got to do more than just believe. If you believe, if you have faith, those words are synonymous, then you're going to do what you're told. So I'd like for each of you to now take a look under one of your chairs there. I've taped a $100 bill. Okay? I've only got one look. There we go. Abby's looking, right? It's not on that side. Now everyone over here. Now all of a sudden Isaiah, yeah, he's like, okay, my odds just went up. So the only reason you would look is if you honestly believe that. If you have faith that it's there. I'm just letting you know it's not. Okay? Don't put your faith in men. Put your faith in God. So as we see that, but what would motivate you is if you really thought it was there. It might be there. Might have 100. We might be going out for lunch today, right? You know, and so as we see, so we're motivated to do something because of our faith. We can't say I have faith or I believe and then just sit there like a bump on the log. It has to be motivated. And that's why it says they believed and turned to the Lord. Turning is an action of something that we do. We repent and we come back to Jesus. We leave what was behind, or the sin behind us, and turn towards the Lord. Faith causes us to respond. So do you respond? Did you respond in faith? Yes or no? Because this is the point, I believe, and if we're following out the Great Commission, this is a point where you go from being a disciple to being a Christian. Again, we know all kinds of people that are disciples, that know about Jesus, that want to know about Jesus, but if they don't do what he has asked, then you're going to stay a disciple and never move on to being a Christian. Verse 26, they were called Christians. They were called Christian. Christian is a word with a long history. It's used sparingly in scriptures. Maybe this is why we like the word better. Because if we're going to memorize every scripture that uses the word Christian, you got three you have to memorize. If you're going to memorize disciples, you got 218 verses you got to memorize. I don't think that's why we chose it this way. But the first time that we see it is here in our text, in the scriptures, Acts 11:26. It appears to have been a derogatory term to some outsiders used to describe the early church followers, the early Christ followers, literally meaning, and see, some, this is where Dylan and I was talking about this, we look at it, some may count it a bad thing, others may count it an honorable thing. Because Christian literally means little Christ or follower of Christ. And if somebody looks at you and says, you are certainly a disciple, I'll be like, okay. But somebody looks and says, you certainly are a Christian, that's a name I'm proud to wear. Because it tells whose I am. So this favorable terminology of being a Christ follower, a little Christ, in the way of Christianity grew. It is, however, I believe, an honored name. The most honorable appellation that can be conferred on a mortal. It suggested at once to a Christian the name of his great Redeemer. It brings honor to Christ. The idea of our intimate relationship with him and the thought that we receive him as our chosen leader, the source of our blessings, the author of our salvation, the fountain of our joys. That's what I think of when I think of the word Christian. It's Christ honoring. It's showing Christ preeminence. That's why we bear no denominational name. We don't go after any Wesley or Calvin. We don't go after a tradition that you might share in or a method that you might hold up. It's the distinguishing name of the redeemed. Even those that are seeking their way and getting closer refer to themselves as hyphenated Christians. I've heard oftentimes heard, you know, we're this type of a Christian, we're this type of a Christian. Well, I'm suggesting you leave this type off and just be a Christian. Be a follower of Christ. It's not that we belong to this or that denomination. It's not that our names are connected with high and illustrious ancestors. It's not that we are recorded in the books of heraldry. It is not that we stand high in courts and among the frivolous and the fashionable and the rich. The true honor is conferred upon men by bearing the name of the Redeemer of their soul, Jesus Christ. It is that we are Christians. This is the special name, I believe, biblically given. By that we are to be known. This one suggests that their character, that our feelings, that our doctrine, that our hopes, that our joys are all based on Christ. And the name that God has given us, Isaiah, a prophetic name. Isaiah 62:2, the nations will see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name. Make a change. Don't be stuck being called a disciple. Move to being called a Christian, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. And after 1 year of them dwelling in this place, they decided they were going to call them Christians. Now, I do not wish to downplay. I hope I tried to stress the importance of being a disciple. However, I am also blessed and considered it an honor to wear the name of my Savior, a name in which God has given us to those who are obedient to His Son. And I'll close with this thought. And I know, listen the whole thing out. Because we could claim the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Imitate me, Paul says. But I'm going to say this. We are not called to be like other Christians. We are called to be like Christ. Other Christians will let us down and fail. Christ is who we base our eternal redemption and life on. We got talking yesterday about movies from the past, and that one that came up, and we said, oh, you know, that's how many sermons were preached, you know, with that title when the series first came out. But those that remember back, I'm sure it's either too early 2000s or into the 90s. Now I can't even remember. Something. Destination. Final Destination. There you go. You got all worked up and then forgot what I was talking about. But Final Destination. You know what? I don't know what your final destination is going to be, but Jesus does. And I guarantee you, if you spurn him, you spurn his name, and you spurn his invitation, then you have spurned your place in heaven. And so that's why we offer you today a plan of salvation. A plan to save mankind. As we read in Scripture, and we talked about this yesterday as well, that man is not predestined. The plan is predestined. God chose from the beginning of the world how he was going to save mankind. Now he's told us, do you want to be saved? Do you want to go from being a disciple to being a Christian? Then put all of your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and then do what he says. It means repent, confess, be immersed, and live faithfully for Jesus Christ. Do we believe in Jesus? It says you must believe in me or you'll perish. We repent. All must repent. Confess Christ. If Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Are you willing to be baptized? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go from being a disciple to being a Christian now, before it's your final destination. Choose heaven. As Rick shared this morning, that choice is yours. Be obedient now. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?